so long have I searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, and the ransom was paid. I was freed. And I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. And I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. And I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. And I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. Yes, I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. And I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Wonderful, praise God. I'm free, folks. I don't know about you, but if you're in bondage to sin today, you can be free also. It's nothing like living the life of a believer, knowing that salvation is secure forever. My eternal destiny is settled. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Jesus. And that's who my faith and trust is this morning. You know, most of the religions of the world teach some type of works-oriented type of salvation. I said they do. They either teach that you have to do something to be saved, or they teach that you have to do something after you're saved to maintain it. And we, listen, you know what? We have a Bible here today that teaches a pure doctrine. And that doctrine is that salvation is not you holding on to Jesus, but Jesus holding on to you. And if you don't believe that, go read John 17. He talks about how that He is keeping you saved. And thank God for it. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and let's get in right into the Word of God. Acts chapter 24. We're finishing up our missions conference this morning and tonight. And so I want to try to delve into a little bit of some things about missions and probably outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And probably the greatest missionary that's known to the New Testament era would be the Apostle Paul. Now, I want to say this about the Apostle Paul. most people wouldn't have had him in as a missionary guest. Because, first of all, they want to know who he was affiliated with, who you're running with. Come on, help me out. I said they want to know who you're running with. What group are you with? And then the next question they would probably ask him would be something like, where'd you go to Bible college? Now listen, you don't get more in detailed in the Bible college that the Apostle Paul went in, because he was taught straight by the mouth of Jesus. You don't get any better than that. And if that didn't satisfy him, then they would probably ask him something like, what experience do you have? What experience do you have in this thing of missions? You see, when you read the Scriptures, you'll find that in Acts chapter 24, verse number 5, you don't have to turn there, but Paul was called a pest. He said, this is a pestilent fellow. They called him a man of sedition. And then you know what? They had the audacity to call him a ringleader. They said, this guy's a pest. He's full of sedition. And then on top of that, he's a ringleader. Everywhere he goes, he causes chaos. Everywhere he goes. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, That there, Paul said that he frequented prisons. He said, I was in prison quite often. He said, 5 times was I beaten with 40 stripes, save one. 3 times he said he was beaten with rods. 1 time he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, and for a night and a day he spent in the deep. He escaped death quite often. And then he faced perilous times over and over and over. I'm just telling you, Paul in the modern day church today would not be welcome to come and present his mission field and his burden. Come on, help me out. You nod, that's true. Because you know it. Because you know what? We've gotten so particular about certain things that we overlook that this man, listen, he didn't go to necessarily a Bible college, but he was taught by Jesus. He didn't necessarily hang out with the normal crowds. He was kind of a loner, wasn't he? And then when you look at his resume, can you imagine him sending his resume into the average church today? And they looked at this, man, this guy's been in prison 5 times. We can't have him in. I mean, everywhere he goes, he causes chaos. They call him a pest. He's full of sedition. He's a ringleader. Are you kidding me? Don't be sending me any mission packages. I don't know anything about you. And yet, this man would probably be cast aside in the average church today. Well, would you stand with me? Let's read a few verses in Acts chapter number 24. We're going to begin reading in verse number 22. Now let me bring you up to speed of where we are. Paul has been arrested now. He was warned not to go to Jerusalem. Well, because Paul was a man of his word, and Paul was a man of commitment. You hear me? I said he was a man of commitment. His commitment wasn't necessarily to the church as much as it was to Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, part of the church tried to keep him from going to Jerusalem, but he went anyway. And you know what he did? He preached the same message that he preached everywhere else. You know what it got him? Arrested. So he gets arrested, and by the way, the religious crowd is the ones that attacked him and wanted to kill him and stone him. It was a man by the name of Lysias that came and found him and actually took him into custody to save him from being killed by the religious people of his day. So Paul gets arrested, and then we find that this man, this Roman man that was a very affluent man, Lysias sent away Paul to Caesarea to the governor, whose name was Felix. He said, listen, go up there, man. You caused way too much trouble down here. I'm going to send you up there. Let him judge you. Well, guess what? The people that were in Jerusalem followed him. And they began to raise Cain. Now, that's a southern term, if you're not from the south. They began to raise Cain. And they begin to raise all kinds of questions and accuse him. Well, in verse 22, follow along with me. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now when you read the rest of this chapter, you'll find that Felix brought Paul back several times, but let me tell you what he brought him back for. He didn't bring him back to find out about Christ. He brought him back over and over to find out, has anybody raised bail money for you yet? Go check me out. Has anybody raised bail for you yet? Because man, I'm telling you, you are such a controversial, you know what, I'm starting to agree, you are a ringleader. But you know what? Somebody needs to raise bail for you, man, get you out of jail. You're causing all kinds of problems. But nobody did. They left him there. And yet, basically what we have this morning, congregation, is a tale of two men. We have a man who had chosen and given his life to consistency, and then we had another man who had given his life to convenience. And that's my question for you this morning. Will it be consistence or convenience for you? Will it be consistence? Will it be that you have chosen to hold fast and to retain your position and your faith? Or will you choose convenience this morning or a lifestyle suitable for comfort or agreeable? Had two men, Paul and Felix. They chose opposite paths. This morning, when we leave here, we will likewise choose one of two paths. We'll choose the path of consistency or we'll choose the path of convenience. Father, meet with us now in the short time that we have. Thank you again for all that we've been able to experience today. Would you open our heart and our mind about what you would have for us today? Teach us, we pray, Holy Ghost of God, and we'll give you the glory for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Let me reemphasize once again that I believe the greatest missionary of the New Testament outside of the Lord Jesus Christ was the Apostle Paul. And, it seems that the key to success of the Apostle Paul and his production for Christ, it seems to find its strength, now listen to me, in his commitment to Christ. It seems that his strength came because he was a committed man. You see, the apostle was able to conquer his flesh. So to the point, listen now, that he trained his mind to focus on what he was to do and could do for Christ. Listen to me, today. Listen to what he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. He said, listen, what I'm able to do, he said, I, through my commitment, had a transformation that took place in my mind. He said, I didn't just get salvation on the road to Damascus, my friend. I got converted to the Savior, and he said, I experienced conversion for the Savior all at once. You see, so many times we allow our mind to drift back to what we did not do for Christ in the past, or we allow it to be occupied with fear about what we can't do for Christ in the future, and guess what we end up doing? Nothing in the present. Amen, preacher. We are so concerned about what we haven't done, or we're concerned about what we're not going to be able to do, that we do absolutely nothing in the present. You see, the Apostle Paul had understood, hey, let me ask you something, did he have a past or not? Yeah, oh man, he had a terrible past. There were probably people dead and in hell because of him. Oh, he had an awful past, but he didn't dwell in the past. Hey, the thing about it is, you know where he was on his way to? He was on his way to have his head cut off. You think that was concerning him? No. He wasn't concerned about what the future held or what he had done in the past. He was concerned about one thing and one thing only, and that was a consistent testimony and message for Jesus Christ. So when he faced the political officials, he didn't change. Why? Because he wasn't concerned about the past. That had all been put under the blood of Christ. He wasn't concerned about what was going to happen in the future. He knew, you know what? I'm fixing to die. I'm heading to Rome and I'm going to die. But did you notice in his conversation with Felix, he didn't say, woe is me. You just don't understand, man, my past. They're being ugly to me because of my past. Or he didn't say, Mr. Felix, listen, don't you understand? In just a few days, I'm going to be Rome, and they're going to go, don't you feel sorry for me? He never brought up the past. He never brought up the future. The only thing that he was concerned about was the present. All he was concerned about is what he could do for Christ right now. You see, Paul's production was the source of him controlling his thinking and not allowing himself to be destroyed or paralyzed by his past or his future. You see, some of us, we're so afraid to step out by faith and do something over and above, extraordinary, supernatural, because we're afraid, well, preacher, you don't understand, if I commit a certain amount to missions, I won't be able to pay my bill. Well, good, won't you let God pay it for you? You see, we're so concerned that it's all up to us to get everything done that we'll allow the world to die and go to hell because we don't think we can do something that's supernatural. You see, we live in the realm of the present right now. Listen, God's not concerned about what you have done. He's not so concerned about what you're going to do. What He's concerned about this morning is, what are you doing right now? What are you doing right now for God? Paul was able to grab that concept and grab that principle and live that principle for Jesus Christ. You see, the reason that we still talk about the Apostle Paul today so positively is because of his Spirit-filled approach to life and God's will. You see, it did not matter what came his way. What he was able to do within himself is he was able to draw out that commitment that he had made to Christ. And it reflected, listen to me now, in his consistent message. It reflected in his compassionate motive. And it reflected in his confidence that he was the means to get it out. He served as the means. You see, Paul was dedicated to Jesus Christ. By the way, and his Christianity, it wasn't something that when he walked out of the house this morning, he took a mask and put his Christian face on. And came to church with his little smiling teeth. You know, smile on his face. God bless you. And when he got home today, he took that off and hung it up. Hey, that's the way most of us live. But I'm going to tell you why. Can you handle it? You got your seatbelt? One of these days, I'm going to put seatbelts on these pews. That way, snap you in. You can't leave until I push a button. But I'm going to tell you why it's that way for most believers. Listen to me. You know why I know Paul lived this life? Here's what he said. Acts 17, verse 28. He says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." You see, Christianity was not just a thing with him. It was a way of life. It wasn't something that he put on Sunday morning and showed up at church. It was a way of life. Sunday all the way through Saturday. And when he showed up, listen, on Sunday, it just magnified his Christianity. It wasn't something he just wore when he showed up at church on Sunday. You see, the reason that Paul was able to do what he did was this, dear friend. Listen, it's because he understood what it was not only to be saved, but to be converted to the cross of Jesus Christ. Probably, if anybody in the Bible probably exemplified the Christian today, it would be the Apostle Peter. You see, Peter had a past. But it wasn't now until Jesus met him in John 21, met him on that seashore and asked him three different times, "Lovest thou me more than these?" You see, Peter had been converted to the Savior, but he had never experienced a conversion to the cross of the Savior. You see, it wasn't until he embraced the cross that changed his life forever. And Jesus told him, he says, "Now, I'm going to talk to you just a minute." He said, "Did you walk with me privately? Because I'm going to talk to you about how you're going to die for me." And boy, I'm telling you, Peter got a grip on that thing and he realized, man, love, I'm going to die for Christ. And yet, listen, folks, Jesus never, when he walked down the shore of Galilee, he never said, "Now, listen, I need to talk to you. Remember those three times you denied me?" He said, "I'll never forget that. You hurt me so deeply that I'll never forget what you did. You denied me, you scumbag." He said, "I can't believe it for all I've done for you." Never brought it up. You know why? Because the thing about it, my friend, that the past got covered by being converted to the Savior of the cross. That's settled. But churches all over America, the reason that we leave here and we're not moved when we see missionary slides and presentations and we hear people talk about the world needing Christ, the reason is we've experienced a conversion to the Savior of the cross, but never a conversion to the cross of the Savior. We've never embraced the cross, and yet Jesus said if we don't carry our cross, we cannot be His disciple. That's the reason there's a lot of believers. Listen to me, everybody look at me. There's a lot of believers, but there's not many Christians. There's not many people that have been and experienced a conversion to the cross of Christ. You say, why? Because the cross is identified with suffering. The cross is identified with sacrifice, and not many people today want to be identified with that. And yet the Apostle Paul, you know what? When he faced Felix, you know what he could have been? He should have said, "You know what? I'm at the end of my life. I think I'm just going to go ahead and take the path of least resistance, and I think I'm going to opt out for convenience also." Now, you know what he did? When he had the opportunity to opt out, He could have just said what everyone was saying, gone back and been a happy guy. But you know what he did? He talked. When he opened his mouth, he could not do and speak anything but what he had seen and heard. He couldn't do anything but preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that churches across America, from Trinity Baptist Church to churches everywhere, people are dying without Christ. Why? Because we got a church full of converted believers but never have experienced a conversion to the cross of Christ. They do not. They have decided, I will not sacrifice. I will not suffer. I enjoy my little comfort zone. Let me tell you something. If the Apostle Paul had taken that idea, most of us today wouldn't even have the gospel. If he would have taken that idea and that attitude. But he didn't. And when he stood up in front of Felix, did you notice his message didn't change? Did you notice when he had an opportunity to take the path of least resistance, he didn't? And yet in his ears, can you imagine ringing what may have been the same ringing that the Apostle Peter heard in his ear on that seashore down the Sea of Galilee? Take up thy cross and follow me. Take up thy cross and follow me. You see, most believers, unfortunately, today are paralyzed. You know where they're paralyzed with? They're paralyzed with absolute fear. Yeah, come on. They're paralyzed with fear. And you know why that a lot of God's people today will not fill out a commitment card to try to promote mission, send missionary? Because you're afraid. You're afraid, well, wait a minute, if I commit anything above what I am, I can't pay my bills, I can't eat, I can't do all this. Oh, by the way, I won't be able to make my car payment, my boat payment, my four-wheeler payment. Come on, help me out. Just smile. It's true. You know it's right. And the thing about it is, so we're willing to sacrifice and let people go to hell so we can make our four-wheeler payment. Come on, help me out. And we don't even care about it. That's the problem. You know why? Because you've never been converted to the cross. You say, but I'm saved. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you've never been converted to the cross of Christ. If you don't believe that, go find in Luke chapter 22 where Jesus, on their way to Gethsemane, looked at Peter and he said, Satan has desired to have you. He said, but I prayed for you. He said, I prayed for you that you fail not. And then he said, and when thou art converted. Wait a minute, he's already saved. What's he talking about? He said, when you learn to embrace the cross, when you learn to embrace the person of Jesus Christ for who I am and what my purpose is, he said, then go strengthen the brethren. He said, before then, you're not doing anything to strengthen the brethren. Now, the Apostle Paul had gotten his mind around this. The Apostle Paul had gotten his heart involved in the commitment of the crucified life. And he had decided, I will be a man of consistency. I will be a man that will stand firm. I will not follow the path of convenience. Today, we're going to make that choice. Yeah, when we leave today, we're going to make that choice. Will it be consistency? Will it be consistency in your Christian faith? Or will you decide, I'm just going to stay in my life of convenience? Well, I want you to go back, if you would, to verse 25 of Acts 24. Here's the message right here. When the Apostle Paul had an opportunity to stand up and speak, did you know it's amazing? He didn't talk about any fishing trip or hunting trip that he'd ever been on. He never talked about any softball games, baseball, football, any trophies he had on his shelf. It seems that every time he had the opportunity to speak publicly, he always spoke about Jesus. He always brought to account the glory of salvation in his life and his service for Christ through his life. It seemed that every time he brought things up, when he had the opportunity to speak, he spoke about Christ. Here he is heading toward the end of his life. He's about to go to Rome and have his head taken off. And here he has an opportunity and he stands in verse 25 and Felix, the governor, and his wife is with him. And he thought, man, what an opportunity. You see, that's how we have to look at it, folks. Hey, can I say this to you? These missionaries that are here this week, we've got a missionary going to Thailand. We've got a missionary going to Spain. We've got a missionary that's helping missionaries. We got a missionary, a guy that's starting a church. We've got 263 different missionaries or missionary projects. And you know what their desire is? Their desire is to go out and give the gospel to the whole world. They, listen, you know what they have? They have a message that's burning within them. Are we going to help them? Or are we going to take the path of convenience this morning? But don't you look at what the Apostle Paul, when he had an opportunity to speak, here's what he spoke. Look at it, if you will. The first subject that he covered was the subject of righteousness. Now let me back up here just a minute, okay? Give you a little history on old Felix and his bride Drusilla. They weren't the most upstanding citizens in the community. Because the reason I know that is because, you know what he was looking for? He was looking for somebody to give him money. He was looking for a bribe to get Paul out. He had been very unjust with people. He was a very cruel man. Listen, he ruled with a ruthless hand. He had no concern for justice or equity. He thought nothing of bribes or favors or just flat out injustice. He's rotten to the core, man. So guess what? Paul knew this. So his very first subject that he says, he said, I need to let you guys know something. He said, I'm going to tell you why you are like you are. I'm going to convey to you why you are in the condition and why publicly you treat people like you treat them. Now listen, you know why people treat people ugly and mean and hateful? Many times it's because that's what they are privately in their life. They're mean and ugly and hateful. And so their public ministry is nothing more than a portrait of their private life and what goes on inside their heart. So the very first subject the apostle addresses is the subject of a right relationship with other people. You see, the problem is Felix had no spiritual character. He had no spiritual virtue. He had no spiritual morality. He had none of that. Why? Because he was lost. And when you're lost, you do not have the capability to love God like He needs to be loved. It's only until you get converted to the Savior of the cross, that's the first step. Then when salvation comes, then you can then decide, you know what, Lord? I think not only am I going to experience the conversion to the Savior, I think I'm going to experience the conversion for the Savior as well. And I'm just going to make up my mind to serve God. So Paul relayed to Felix and Drusilla. He said, listen, I want you to understand, I'm going to tell you why you mistreat people. I'm going to tell you why that you show no character, that you show no justice of people. You're ruthless. You love bribes and favors, and you just flat out treat people wrong. He said, I'm going to tell you why you are like you are. And so he did. But then what? You know what else he told them? He also told them they had no ability to change it on their own. You know, the thing about it is that we can go and look in a lot of places in the writings of the Apostle Paul. But can I say this morning to you, that you have no ability to do right on your own? The only ability that you have to do anything right is through Jesus Christ. You see, depravity tends to destroy others. Hey, there is no inherent good within us to change us. According to Romans 7, verse 18, the Scripture says, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nothing good about this flesh. You know what this flesh wants to do? It wants to get even. Right? You say, oh, preacher, not me. Come on, help me now. It wants to get even. But you know what the Spirit wants to do? The Spirit wants to forgive. But the flesh wants to get even. Now listen, you know, you say, well, why is that situation like that, preacher? It's because, listen, you may have experienced salvation, but until you get converted to the Savior, or to the cross of the Savior, you're going to find out that you're going to be vindictive, you're going to be unforgiving toward people. You see, Felix had never even experienced salvation. And Paul says you have no ability whatsoever to change yourself. Listen, no change inward results in no change outward. Amen, preacher. Jesus taught a little lesson. And here's what he taught. He said, by their fruits, ye shall know them. Now, springtime's coming. At least it's supposed to in Texas. Springtime might be here. By the way, did the groundhog see a shadow? I ain't got time to mess with that. Did he see a shadow? Oh, he didn't? Oh, man. What's wrong with that groundhog, man? Needs a pair of glasses. Oh, well. So we got 6 more weeks of winter. Is that right? Now, listen.
You say, preacher, are you crazy? I ain't believing no groundhog.
Is that right? You'd be amazed at what people believe. Groundhogs won more spiritual things.
Now, I'm just trying to tell you today, listen to me, folks, that we have no ability to change ourselves. There has to be a supernatural change. And Paul said, I'm going to tell you why you are like you are and why you treat people like you treat people.
Now, listen to me. Righteousness is not acquired, it's inherited. Did you hear me?
Righteousness is not acquired, it's inherited. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. All right, then how do I get it? You have to inherit it. You say, from who? From Christ. Through a born-again believer, or born-again trusting in Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. That's just coming this morning and say, I believe Jesus is the only way. You know, we got too many people that believe in God, but hadn't believed on God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Okay? There's a lot of people, when you talk to them, they say, oh yeah, I believe in God. But listen to me. Did you know that the devils believe in God? Now, there's a lot of people say, oh no, I'm saved. Well, how do you know it? Because I believe in God. Now, salvation, genuine Bible salvation, is not just believing in God, it's believing on the Lord. You see, there's a lot of people that say, you know what, I believe that chair can hold me up. I believe there's no question about it. They say, listen, I'm going to put my faith in this chair. I believe in it so much, I'm going to put my trust totally in this chair that it's going to hold me up. And here's what they do. And they go through life, say, look, told you, I believe in God. No, you don't. You don't believe, because until you actually get in the chair, let me tell you, this is what belief is. Belief is when you get in the chair and you say, now I'm believing, not just in the chair, I believe on the chair now. That's salvation. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people running around church today that's never experienced that. Amen. You know what? They believe in God, but they've never believed on Him. They've come to church and they said, oh, I believe in church. I believe in this and that. But they've never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. That's the reason they care nothing about souls. And by the way, that's the reason they never change. Amen. You see, righteousness is not acquired. It's inherited. You've got to inherit it from the right source. Inheritance comes from Christ. You see, if you could see in this soul right here, you know what would be? You wouldn't be covered. This soul would be covered with the blood of Jesus. Why? Because I've inherited. I inherited a new nature. And you know what's within me today? Man, I want to give so much missions. And listen, by the way, if it's up to my wife, we'd give it all. And I'm not kidding. She'd give everything. She said, what would you eat? I don't know. I guess berries. And we'd go find something. But hey, let me tell you something. You know why? Because there hasn't in her life been just a converting to the Savior of the cross. There's been a conversion to the cross of the Savior. And that's the reason she wants to give it all. You see, I'm just telling you this morning, listen to me. The lost are uncaring about souls, but believers who have never experienced that conversion to the cross of Christ and sacrifice and surrender are uncaring about sin. You see, Paul just backed up. He said, listen here, Felix and Miss Drusilla. He said, I'm going to tell you why you are like you are. And he began to talk about righteousness. Wait a minute. He didn't stop there. Look at subject number two. He said, now point number two, I need to talk to you a little bit about temperance. You say, what is that? I need to talk to you a little bit about what God thinks about who you are. I need to talk to you a little bit now about who you are. And now I need to talk to you about what God thinks about who you are and your private relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what he told him? He said, you, my friend, are barren. The reason you treat people the way that you do is because Christ has never come into your heart. And so he preached temperance about what God thought about what they were. You see, Felix's relationship to others was in direct result because of he had no relationship with Christ. Hey, he was acting out of depravity. He was an empty man. He was a prideful man. Hey, listen, he was a condemned man. He was condemned. Felix probably thought that he was a self-made man. You ever meet people like that? Self-made man. Let me tell you something. You know what God thinks about self-made men? One day there will be a fire in hell that will be waiting those who are self-made men. Because if they think that they can ever squeak out heaven without Jesus, they got another thing coming. There is no such thing as a self-made man. You see, Felix was a condemned man. He probably thought he's a pretty good guy because you know what? He's a self-made man. By the way, look around. Ain't nothing happened. You know what? He said, look at him. I mean, he's living in lavishness and royalty. Ain't nothing happened to him. Well, of course not. He's a child of the devil. So you know who was taking care of him? The devil was. The devil was the one that was keeping care of Felix. But can I say something else about Mr. Felix? Not only did Paul preach about the subject of righteousness, he preached about temperance, about what God thought about him. And you know what? According to the Scripture, according to Romans chapter 8, verse number 7, that man is at enmity with God. He said, you know what? There's a great gulf that's fixed between me and you. And he says, the only way that you can come to where I am is through the blood of Christ. That's it. He says, you are enmity. In other words, you are in a state of being opposed to God. You say, oh, no, no, preacher, I like God. He's a nice God. Well, have you put your faith in His Son yet? Have you put your faith in the things of God yet? Have you trusted Jesus as Savior yet? Felix had done none of this. So he said, I'm going to tell you what God thinks about what you are. He said, I've already told you why you are what you are. Now I'm going to tell you what God thinks about what you are. There's enmity between you and God. You see, because Felix rejected God's will. He ignored what God's plan was. And by the way, Felix lived for himself rather than for others. You see, God has provided the answer to our problem, though. And you know how I know that Felix knew that the answer and what Paul was preaching was truth? Did you notice what happened about two-thirds through the message? Did you notice that he began to tremble? And by the way, it wasn't because the temperature had dropped. It was because he was getting convicted. You see, God had provided an answer. And listen, many times when the answer's given, a lot of times people don't even care. And he says, I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Felix, you may not care about him. And he says, you may think that you're beyond salvation, but he said, there's a God in heaven, I promise you, that loves you and will save you if you'll come right now. Come right now. Right now. Listen, strike while the iron's hot. Strike when you're convicted. I can see. Listen, you know how I know people get convicted in the pew when the preaching of the Word of God is? Because they sit and do this. You ever watch them? They do this, or they're constantly moving. You know, because they have to work off that conviction. They have to work off that nervous energy. That's what he was doing. Paul's sitting there speaking, and Felix is sitting there going, he's nervous. Why? Because the truth now, he had been presented why he was what he was, and now he's been told, this is what God thinks about what you are. And yet, Christ provided redemption in spite of ourselves. Hey, listen. You know Felix qualified as a whosoever? Yeah. He qualified as a whosoever. And he had the opportunity right there, right at his fingertips. He could have moved from convenience to consistency, but he chose to stay in convenience because he said, get. He said, I'll call for you at a more convenient time. Well, Paul said, wait just a minute, I got one more point. He said, I've told you how you and why you are like you are, why you treat people like you do. He said, I've told you about what God thinks about who you are. And then he says, look at his third point, and that is, and judgment to come. He said, now I need to tell you something, Mr. Felix. I told you why you are what you are, what God thinks about what you are. He says, now listen. There's going to come a day where God will deal with you based on who you are. Let me tell you something. By that time, after death, there is no second chance, mister. He said there is no second chance of salvation. Hey, Paul's reference here was directed at Felix, who knew about the judgment of men. Why? Because he was a judge. Now listen, you know what he brought to light? What he was trying to bring to light to help this man see? He says, you know how unjust you are to people? You know how that you judge people? You'd soon take a favor or a bribe? He said, let me tell you something, my friend. There's going to come a day when you face a thrice holy God. There will be no bribes. There will be no one to bail you out. There will be no one to say, I object. There will be no cross-examination in your life. Hey, God's judgment will be just. You see, both the lost and the saved will be judged. They will be separate judgments, though, but they will both be judgments that are just. And judgment will be in conjunction with our relationship to Jesus Christ. No excuses, no bribes, no bail, no hope. He says, and mister, is that what you want? And he's still shaking. He's still shaking because, listen, this preacher got up and then basically in just a small time with him told him, I'm going to tell you why you are like you are. I'm going to tell you what God thinks about what you are. He says, I'm going to tell you that one day God's going to judge you on who you are, sir. Listen, God's judgment will be final. There'll be nobody there to defend you. Mama, daddy, brother, there'll be nobody there to defend you. It'll be just you and God. There'll be no cross-examination. There'll be no right to an objection. You see, all will be judged. Listen now, based on the evidence that you provided in your life. You see, when we stand before God one day, God's not going to make up anything. All He's going to have to do is read the story of your life. And when He reads the story of your life and He sees no blood, no Christ, no nothing there, He'll say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, for I never knew you. But if He sees the blood of Christ, He'll say, oh, I'm so happy that you accepted my Son and that you got born into the family of God. But you know what? With every believer, He's going to read down the feet. He says, I see a conversion to the Savior, but I don't see anything here about a conversion to the cross. I don't see anywhere in here where you committed to sacrifice and to suffering for me. He said, you did nothing. Nothing whatsoever. He said, I'm glad you're saved. But you didn't do anything to help promote world missions. You didn't do anything to help promote your local church. Now, let me finish this up and say this. Felix heard the truth about his sin and the condition of his soul. Listen, he knew he was not in a right relationship with God. You see, the evidence of his conviction was apparent because he began to tremble. He began to shake at the truth of God. Felix had an opportunity to trust Christ. But here's what he chose, folks. He chose to wait and send Paul away. He chose that day to reject the purpose of God for the priorities of self. He chose to turn away from the truth. And as far as I can tell from Scripture, Felix may have passed up his only opportunity to be saved. You see, this morning, don't have the convenient season attitude. You have no guarantee that you will ever have this opportunity that God's given you today. Felix had no idea that when he got put out of office and when he was replaced by Festus in office, he had no idea that what he had heard from Paul was the last opportunity he probably had to be saved. And here was his choice. Go. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Can I say to those who know not Christ this morning, there is not going to be a more convenient time than right now. No more convenient time right now. Why? Because God's spoken and He wants to draw you. He's already speaking to your heart. If you're a believer this morning, there's going to be no more convenient time for you to commit to the service of Christ and commit to what God has for you as far as world missions than today. But when we leave today, the question is going to be consistency or convenience? Which will you be? Paul said there's something more important than convenience, and that's being consistent for Jesus Christ. There's something greater than convenience. But isn't it amazing that on the other side of the table was a guy that saw things from a totally different perspective? He saw them from the side of, you know what? I ain't got time for this consistent stuff. I ain't got time for this church stuff. I ain't got time for this. He said, I've got things to do. I've got lakes to fish. I've got woods to hunt. I've got four-wheelers to run. He says, go! And I'll call for you at a more convenient season. We don't know if this man ever had another convenient season or another opportunity. Listen, folks, Let's take advantage of it today. Today. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. I'm going to do things just a little bit different this morning. Please do not move around and disturb those that are praying. I want you to listen. I want you to be quiet and still. I want you to listen to what I'm about to ask you this morning. There are some here this morning. I saw as I was preaching, you're nervous, big time. I don't know what God is doing in your heart. I don't know what God has spoken to you about. But if you know not Christ this morning, if you say, preacher, listen, I just came because of I was invited. I didn't really come to decide on anything today. But listen, you may not have another season. This may be the most convenient season that you have, and it's right now. Right now. And you say, preacher, pray for me. I've never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. If I died today, I don't even know where I'd go, preacher. I've thought about it. I've got some doubts about it. But you'd at least let me pray for you. God sent you here. At least let me pray with you. How many today would say, preacher, if I died right where I sit, I'm not sure heaven is my home. It's not that I don't want to go. It's just that I just don't have the assurance of it. But you'd at least let me pray for you. How many say, preacher, that's me. Nobody's looking but me. Say, pray for me. Please, please, please pray for me. Just slip your hand up and say, that's me. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Just slip it up and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. God bless you. And you say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to be saved. If I died, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. At least let me pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else would join this one? Just slip your hand up. Say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. All right? God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody will join these two? Two. These two, raise their hand. Say, pray for me. Anybody else? All right? Maybe you're here this morning. You're already saved. But you've never been baptized after you got saved. You say, preacher, I know it's the right thing to do. I've just never obeyed God in that area of my life. Please pray for me. I need to obey God in believer's baptism. I know it's the right thing to do, but I've never obeyed God in that area of my life. I'm a child of God, but never been baptized. Please pray for me that I'll obey God in that area. Nobody looking now but me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up and say, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. Anybody else will join these two? Say, preacher, that's me. I've been saved, but never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing. Pray for me. Anybody else? Just slip your hand right up high and say, that's me. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Then let me ask you one last thing. I wonder how many people today are believers. You say, preacher, I've been converted to the Savior. I've been saved. But I've got to be honest. I've never experienced a conversion to the cross of Christ. I've never experienced the full reward, the fullness of the Christian life. Preacher, I'm not sure I even know what the crucified life is. You say, preacher, please pray for me. I'm going to be honest this morning. Churches across America are filled with people that are converted. They're saved, but they've never experienced conversion. They've never embraced the cross. They have no idea what suffering is. They have no idea what sacrifice is. They have no idea what it means to live a life of faith. But you'd at least say, preacher, pray for me. I'm saved, but I've never experienced that type of conversion to the discipleship of Jesus Christ. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Be honest. Be honest. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I'm going to simply ask that you meet with us today. I pray, Father, that the Shekinah glory of God would move from wall to wall, person to person, and pew to pew this morning. And Father, if you don't convict, nobody will come. If you do not move in hearts, nobody's going to come. And so I pray, Father, please, that the Holy Spirit of God would move in such a way that those that need to come to accept Christ would come. Those who need to come to be baptized that raise their hand, that today would be that day. And then, Father, believers who have already confessed, Lord, that their life is not what it needs to be, let today be that day of conversion in their life to the cross, and that they might come and embrace it for Christ's sake. Have your way now, please, in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. And listen, if you slipped your hand up, would you come and kneel with us together this morning? Just come and make your way to the altar and say, preacher, I'm a believer, but I've never gotten over the hump. I've never experienced conversion in that manner. I've never experienced that place in my Christian life. Oh, let me tell you something. You're talking about a delightful time. You're talking about a victory life. Listen, there's more to conversion than just the Savior. There's a cross also that comes with the Savior.
Are you willing to come? Are you willing to come? Some of you this morning, you still are unsure about what God's will is as far as world missions. Would you come today and say, listen, Lord, I don't know what you want from me. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but would you lay a finger on my heart to give to world missions? And I'll do everything I can to keep that commitment for the glory of God.